Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 198 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Democles with Bodies Get Bored. And you know what? I bet bodies do get bored just lying around there. And this is my favorite band from Norway. I can say that with confidence. I love everything they do. And this song, Bodies Get Bored, is no different. I got news from them recently that they signed to Vinter Records and will have a new record coming out through Vinter in February 2022. So be on the lookout for that. The album will be called Nights Come Alive, and they're already actually at work on writing and recording the follow-up to that album. This band has a crazy work ethic. They put out so much cool new music. It's actually hard to keep up with. Democles out of Norway. Okay. So what's happening on this episode of the podcast, episode 198 of Getting It Out Podcast? Well, I've got an interview with Heath Rave of Lotus Thrones. Lotus Thrones is technically a solo project, and Heath talked to me all about that and all sorts of other stuff. And it was a pleasure to have a conversation with the guy, and I'm going to share it with you now. But first, let's do the best crossover thrash band that exists in New Jersey right now ever, and that is Hot Zone with the Getting It Out Podcast intro.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Zone back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out Podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap verse, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap verse. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends. Make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family. Make friends till they bury all the places we've been. When they were sitting it out, we be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. When they were sitting it out. Where you getting it out? Get in and out! All right, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Shea Money, and LFTW forever.
So, hey, how's it going? Are you even paying attention to what I'm saying? Because I'm not saying anything. I just wanted to see if you were listening. That was just a test. I apologize because I'm not good at tests either. But, you know, tests are necessary. We need to know. We need to know things. We need to know where we measure up against some kind of standard that matters, right? So that was just a test. Great way to start this episode. I promise no more tests. I guess it was more of a pop quiz. You didn't know it was coming, huh? And it didn't really matter. It's not going to weigh heavily in your final grade. So it was just a pop quiz. Pop quiz. Surprise. Usually you say that before the pop quiz, maybe. But whatever. You know what I'm saying. You did great. All right? Speaking of doing great, I am not kidding. My across-the-street neighbor, who I don't like at all, is currently on the roof of his house, leaf-blowing the leaves off of it. This guy's crazy. He's obsessed with this. And I'm not going to lie. If he falls right now, and I'm recording this as I'm talking, you hear like a, oh my God, and then maybe I'll go check on him, but, you know, let's see what happens. So far, he's doing okay. He's an older fella, so, you know, does it necessary, people like this exist, right? That they're going to go up to the roof in the middle of fall. Hey, man, it's November 5th right now as I'm recording. November 5th. You got a lot of trees. We got a lot of trees in this neighborhood. This is not the end of the leaves on your roof. It's not. Is it necessary to go up there right now? I mean, you are all more than welcome to do whatever the fuck you want to do, like almost all the time, as long as it doesn't involve children. But I don't think you should go up there at your advanced age and leaf blow the roof. That is so ridiculous and stupid. I love it. I hope he does it more. He's going down to the second level now. You know, I just heard the leaf blower going outside of my house. And I was like, oh, that sucks. I'll wait until that's over before I start recording. And then I saw that he's on the roof and I'm like, well, I want to fucking record something in case something exciting happens. I got to catch it. And it doesn't look like anything exciting is going to happen. But, you know, he's done already. But for a minute there, boy, was that fun. I bet you could feel it too, huh? Nothing like listening to a guy watch another guy leaf blow his roof. All right, sit back down. I know you're on the edge of your seat. Sit back down, relax. On this episode, as I mentioned before, I have an interview with Heath Rave from Lotus Thrones. Earlier in the year, he released a Lovers in Wartime record, and today he put out Autumnal. I think that's how you say it. That's probably close enough. Anyway, this song that I'm going to play for you now is called Ghost Forest. It's the first track on the record, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And then you're going to listen to the conversation with Heath and I.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Heath. How you doing?
Hey, I'm finishing a taco.
Well, take your time. Finish that taco. Give it the respect it deserves.
No, this is my third taco. I showed it no respect. I was just...
like you should, or as you
it
should.
Was no more special. I just want this taco to know that's not even as special as the first taco, and I just destroyed its life.
Well done.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Anyway,
yeah. So I didn't ask you. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm just chilling. Let's see. I did some pretty cool. I'm lucky enough that I got a kindergarten job early on in my life. So I color pictures on people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to do a demon coming out of some knives today and a pretty cool traditional rose. So like, that's why I'm like, bro, you can be pissed off about your fucking job, man, because mine's stupid.
Yeah. But all right. So honestly, what is having a job that I can assume you love? Like, what is that like?
Incredible. Like, you go through, I mean, now that I'm like 41, and I like, you know, like just before I quit Wolfhammer, like I was definitely in a really bad fucking way. So I was probably pretty like petty and took a lot of it for granted. But after I turned my life around, I realized that, like, you know, I was 15 years in then too. And I'm like, man, this shit's awesome, dude. It's right. Cool. Like, you get a lot of, you go through your periods of where you're like, man, I don't want to tat this stupid whatever little thing. And then I'm like, wait a minute, man, I just made money off this really easy thing that I had to print off and put on them. And I made it, and it's a tattoo. And that's pretty cool. Like, you know, that's sick, dude. So you know, it allows me to, like, in the mornings I work on Lotus Drones, you know, if I don't have to draw, because I prefer to draw in the morning for some reason. I try to draw at night, but then if I don't have anything, I can work on Lotus Drones in the morning. And then again at night when I get home, you know, I can, like, I think, I don't know, it's all encompassing. I get to, like, getting to live as a creative is such a fucking privilege, dude, and I know it. So, yeah, I just, I thank whatever it is I'm supposed to thank every day. Kiss my daughter and my wife and make some shit. It's fun.
That's awesome. That really does sound like the dream to me. Like, I just, don't get me wrong, I'm not, me and my wife, my family, we're not hurting for anything, right? We do fine. I live a pretty nice privileged life myself. Just, you know, we got here ourselves, but we have jobs we don't like, you know what I mean? Like, there's still that,
yeah,
like,
totally,
you spend your day doing some bullshit that you don't necessarily want to do. Some days obviously worse than others, but I ask you that because I talked to a friend of mine who's in a pretty successful band that he lives off of his band, right? And when he first had his kid, I was talking to him and I was like, isn't it great? Like, doesn't it make everything else seem like it sucks? Like, because that's how I felt when my daughter was born. It was like, everything else is just like, doesn't compare at all. And he was like, yeah, you know.
No, that's true.
Well, he was like, yeah, you know, but I also, like, I have like the coolest job on earth and I get to tour the world and play music. And that is really cool too. And he's like, so it's not I hate to say that, like, it's not, you know, he wasn't saying one is better than the other. He was just saying, but this is really awesome too. And so it's not like, yeah, I don't know. And it was an interesting perspective. Like, yeah, okay, I get it.
You know, that's the thing is, like, so, like, I am still, like, now I can't imagine going back to touring. I don't know how I'd do it. I definitely have friends that I could hire for it or whatever, but, like, it just doesn't sound appealing. Like, even, like today, like, I, you know, I work late 3 or 4 days a week, and I miss, like, bath time and fucking stories or her just being a complete fucking psycho at the end of the night, you know?
Right,
which,
right.
And, like, that shit's still cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, I miss that shit, dude. So sometimes it's, like, I've found a really good balance now, but, try to make it home early most nights, and then we have a whole day together where it's just her and I on Wednesdays. That's like my day with her. My wife works that day. We just, like, her and I go do whatever the fuck we want all day.
That's awesome. How old is she?
4.5.
For us, so that's like the perfect years. Like we have 14 and 8, and like when I look at, and they're both girls, and when I look at like pictures or videos from like those 3, 4, even 5, it's like, man, they were like perfect back then. Like not that there's anything wrong with them now, you know what I mean? Well, no, there's plenty wrong with them. They're fucking brats, but you know,
like, yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
But like,
there's plenty wrong with. There's plenty wrong with them then too.
They're
their cerebral frontal cortex isn't developed yet, so they have no idea how to grasp emotions. So they're insane, dude.
Well, that goes on for like a really long time.
But they're still, you know, like beautiful and incredible. It's this age is cool because they like you see their minds like fucking firing on all cylinders, dude. It's just like this. You can see the synapses are like starlight in their eyes, and it's fucking magical, dude.
Well,
like,
what's also so cool. Awesome about that is that you can see that, and then they can articulate it as best they can to you as well. Like they can communicate with you. That's like when they're
totally
finally able to, like when you start having conversations with them, and you're like, holy shit. I mean, they're basic conversations, but it's you know, you wait their whole life to do that, and then it's there.
Yeah, and there's this they're an individual, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're this individual soul or person, like, and you're like, whoa, you are you, you know? Like, there's a little bit of mom, and there's a little bit of me, but you are definitely you, you know? And right. That's just blows your mind, dude. It's the coolest, that's the coolest job either. It's like trying to, like, navigate on how to, you know, make sure that this person is fed and clothed and is happy and is learning, you know, like that's so fulfilling.
Yeah. Was that a, and I don't mean to be all personal like this, but was that an easy adjustment for you to get into that parent mode?
Totally. Because at the time, like I didn't know, we can be personal. You can put all this on there. This is cool, dude. Yeah. Like, like, I mean, we can get to metal bullshit later.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so my wife and I kind of reverse engineered our relationship. We decided to have a kid. We were like, let's have a kid after we had bought a house. And then we got it.
Nice.
So, like, I think we decided to go off birth control at a nails show. Or, like, I think we were having lunch, or, like, it was a nails matinee show back when we lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, like, they played across the street from the shop there. And after that, we went to Kuma's and ate. And, like, she was like, yeah, let's go for this. Because I think I said something like, I think I made a joke about it after an obituary show. Because Skeleton Witch was out with Obituary. And Adam, that was in Wolfhammer with me, he's the singer for Skeleton Witch now. We were out with them, and we parted it out and came home. I'm like, we should make a baby. You know? So I was just like ready for it and stoked. Yeah, I was fucking all about it.
That's awesome.
I was still kind of like, that's the thing is that, like, I'd gotten clean just before I met my wife, but I still drank. And then about my daughter was about 3 months old, and there was just some things that needed to change. So I grew up in hardcore, and I tried, because back in the day, at the bottom of my first beer was my cocaine dealer's phone number. Like, I was bad, dude. So, like, I managed to make a year and a half or so of just being able to drink, but I get really dark and do dark shit.
Yeah.
So, like, I tried meetings before. I've tried all that shit, you know? And, like, I grew up with straight edge friends, and they always showed me the respect, and I've always loved the music. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to fucking make the promise to myself, because that's the only thing that, because I have to hold myself accountable to, like, not be a piece of shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I, like, yeah, I'm probably the only person that claims straight edge at 37, but I actually think that I have better reasons for it than most kids do. You know what I mean?
I think so. Better than a 16-year-old with no life experience, yeah. I mean, not that that's a bad move. Not that that's a bad move by any means, but, you know, like, yeah.
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 No, but for me, it was more about, like, for them, it's like, some, you know, like, people need an inclusive group. For me, it was like, I was thinking about, like, and I do, I have that, and I have friends that have been, you know, like, and all, I think all my straight edge friends that even have been straight edge for like 20 years were all recovery actions. Mm-hmm. So, I have a community with it, you know, and it's not, I don't know. I respect it. And I think it, like, it means the world to me. Like, that should say, like, hard, once again, hardcore music, punk, metal, like, it saved my life, you know? Like, and it's allowed me to still continue to be, like, a good father and a good in my career and responsible, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that I pulled something out of music for that, you know? In a more, everyone looks at it in such a trite way, and it kind of is. It's a little silly, you know? But I think I found a more, like, spiritually pure version of it for myself in my adulthood.
Well, that's now, obviously, and all that's great, and I love hearing that. But where just for the sake of the conversation, where did it all start for you?
Okay, yeah, because I went back. I've been listening to a few. So are you talking about for music? Like, where did heavy music start for me?
Yeah.
You want to jump into that?
Yeah, let's do that. Because what I understand, you grew up, like, out in, like, what, one of the Dakotas, right? I'm sorry, it's hard to keep track of. There's two of them.
Yeah, I grew up in South Dakota in a little farm town just north of the biggest city, which is Sioux Falls. So I grew up in a town called Del Rapids, 3,000 people. I graduated, like, a class of 30. But, like, even though I was, like, a kid in the 80s, like, I consider myself an 80s kid, not a 90s kid, because I had a cool older sister.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, in 87, we're, like, oh, she's got me into, like, Metallica and Slayer and shit like that, dude. Like, already.
Yeah.
Like, she'd spike my hair, like, spike my hair for me in the morning. She helped me draw the Metallica logo on the back of my jean jacket when I was, like, 8, dude. Like,
that's awesome.
Like, she was, and then, you know, like, she's a few years, like, just, I can't even think of this. A few years ago, just before, like, I met my wife, I was at home, I was visiting home, and I was just fucking, or actually, no, my wife and I have been dating for just a little bit, and she was coming to meet me in South Dakota for Thanksgiving, and I was fucking wasted at the bar. My sister came and picked me up, and she's got Helmet fucking cranked, you know, like,
yeah.
I was like, you know, like, even though we're different, a lot different now, you're still cool as fuck, Shauna. I, like, love her, you know, but the thing was, in that tiny town in the late 80s there, the first guys my sister was dating when she was, like, 13 and 14 and stuff, you know, like, heavy metal was cool in that town. Like, we had a full-on satanic panic there. Like, parents were scared and shit. There's pentagrams on the bridges and stuff. Everybody was into fucking skateboarding, and we're not talking, like, the 90s Little Wheels thing. We're talking about real, like, It was like hooking the daggers, basically, from thrashing. And those were the people, like, that my sister was hanging out with. Like, her first boyfriend had a Halloween Keeper of the Seven Keys back patch.
Oh, nice.
And I just remember, I remember that distinctly, you know what I mean? And, like, I also remember, too, buying my first tape when I was 7 at a Kmart when I visited my mom in Iowa, and it was a thrash metal. It was a comp called Thrash Metal. And literally the first song on there was Evil Has No Boundaries from Slayer. Then it was Hook and Mouth from Megadeth, and then Caught in the Mosh, Mistress of Pain from Death Angel, I'm Alive from Halloween, Me Against the World, Lizzie Borden.
Was that a Megaforce tape?
I think so. Sabotage was on there.
Yeah, I think I used to have that tape. Not an original, but I had one at some point, yeah.
Yeah, 24 Hours Ago from Sabotage was on there. Like, the dude with, like, the fucking spiky guitar sitting on the metal throne, the Scully guy. Yeah, dude, I bought it because of that. And it was, like, $5, but I got to hear all these sick bands. But, like, the first thing that popped out of there was fucking, like, Evil, My Words of Fire. You know what I mean? I'm like, what, dude? So cool. This is so cool.
Well, South Dakota sounds, like, awesome.
It wasn't. It totally sucks, dude. Like, that's the thing is, like, you're into kind of scary shit like that because, like, I don't know, like, then you get into, like, amphetamines and stuff. You know? Yes. Like, in high school, dude.
It's a one-way,
like,
street.
Teenage pregnancy and dirt weed and fucking methamphetamines, man. That's the road it's going down, dude. But, like, and then my sister, too, also... There's this thing I have to go to, I have to put in here, because, like, I was listening to, I don't know if you listen to the Pure Pleasure podcast, but that's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
He gets really deep with this guy's on there. And, like, he was talking to, I think, Nate Newton from Converge, and then I was listening to another Nate Newton podcast with him, somebody else, and, like, I think the biggest thread through a lot of all of us is skateboarding. Especially if you saw Thrasher magazine in the 80s, dude, in the late 80s and early 90s, because you had, like, Notes from the Underground and Zounds and stuff, you know? And because of that, like my sister helped me get a subscription to that too. So like, and like, actually, you know, I actually grew up on a real corn farm, but my dad was a carpenter. So we had these outbuildings that were heated where he worked. So he actually built me a little wooden skate park in there too. So
oh,
I could
wow.
skate in the winter. It's pretty, it was
That's
sick.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let me spray paint my shit because I'd watch Thrashing and Gleaning the Cube every other day. I had them on VHS, like warm out, you know? That thread is something that I think is super important. It's like Thrasher magazine and skateboarding, like, and like punk rock and whether it was metal or punk, like you, I think they all get to come, they have all come to get like come together as a family now. But like, I can think of even like, even beyond that, where I like, and you know, we'll probably get into this with all the influences that I try to express in my music. Like, I discovered like DOS Effects and Gangstar through Thrasher magazine, you know, like really good true hip hop stuff. And even like, I bought a Smiths record because Nodis was wearing a Meet Us Murder shirt, you know, like. I got Pixies record because of that. I had Nirvana Bleach on tape when it came out because there was a picture of them, like, you know, him stage diving in Notes from the Underground, pre-Nevermind.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to, and Misfits too and stuff, because all those dudes had Misfits shirt on. And I want to say that probably at the time I didn't understand some of it, you know, but like, definitely like later on down the road, I'd re-listen to those things and they click with me even more. Like,
sure.
Like, I think I fucking, she think I fucking hated that Smiths tape when I was a kid. But like, now that I'm like making sad boy goth industrial, like post-metal stuff, like I'm always, I actually prefer Morrissey solo stuff, but I'm blasphemous like that.
I don't know that I've been converted to like the Smiths or Morrissey yet. I don't think it's even happened. I don't know that I've even given it a chance. I'm still a hater, without any good reason. But it's funny, the a lot of things you're saying there,
oh, there's,
like...
there's no, Dan, there's plenty of good reasons to hate the Smiths and Morrissey. Trust me, dude.
I'm sure, yes. But the gateway of skateboarding, I talk about it all the time, maybe not on the podcast, but I say it all the time. I got into so much shit from skateboarding, like you're talking about. And some of it, not most... all right, about 50% of it, not good, you know, but... Like I always say, skateboarding is the gateway, and you want to, that's the quickest
for
way.
Sure.
That's the quickest way to smoke weed is to start skateboarding.
Certainly. Yeah. Or the, you know, cheap beers and shit.
Yeah.
Man. And like, banging your head, dude. Fucking,
head trauma.
Like, but then the other thing is though too. So you are an individual trying to conquer something every with it.
Yeah.
And you look at landscapes differently too.
Forever.
And it's you and your you and your friends like conquering this stuff, but it's also a power of your own will.
I'm so glad I got it. So much exploration, and there's so much good that came out of skate for me.
You fucking fall and get hurt and get up and do it again. Like, how deep is that lesson as a kid, dude? You don't realize it at the time because you're just trying to crush, kill, destroy. But, like, that shit's deep, dude. Like, skaters are survivalists now. Like, ultimate, I think. I think that that's why so many of them are in bands and tour and are just, like, do DIY shit, you know? Because we, like, know how to be like, fuck you, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. No, it's great. And like you were saying with the Thrasher, I'm a couple years younger than you, and to me it wasn't necessarily Thrashers, it was skate videos. It was 411. I remember the first 411 video I ever saw. I had like Dr. Rocky on and like all sorts of like just different music that I wasn't exposed to, because I was already into like, you know, the shit in the 90s, but there was just so much more. Like, that's the way I got underground music, with skate videos. You know, or magazines, like you're saying. But anyway, so that's how you got into all and discovered all this, and likewise for myself. But when did you start actually playing music?
When did I start playing music? I think I got a guitar when I was 13, barely ever played it. Friend left a drum set at my house because we were fucking around, I think, when I was 15. And like most kids, but differently. So I watched the video before that drum set when Nevermind came out, I watched, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit was always on.
Yeah.
And I'd watched Dave Grohl, and I remember the hi-hat thing. Are you still there? I think my iPads are losing. My iPods are, like, getting...
Yeah,
low.
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, I lost my right one. That's fine. So I'll just pick up my phone when the other one dies. So, like, I remember watching the him lifting up the hi-hat. So I would sit and, like, pretend to play like that to that song. That. So when my friend left that, and I was on pillows in my lap and shit. So when my friend left that drum set at my house, I sat down and fucking rocked a 4/4 beat, dude. And I loved it. I'm always be a drummer by trade. So, yeah, that's when I started, probably 15. I got into my first band when I was 17, I think. After my first stint at rehab, I met some dudes, and I got my first drum set, my own drum set. And it was honestly, so it was like 97, 98. And that's when I got into hardcore too. Yeah. That's when I discovered like Converge and shit. And like, we were starting to head in towards the Hydra Head era of experimental hardcore
stuff.
And like, I got into see Neurosis way before that, which changed my fucking life. They've been my favorite band probably since I was 15 years old, dude.
It's a but great
like,
choice.
Yeah, but they're like, to me, they'll always be a hardcore band.
Right.
They were the reason why I can hear certain, they're the reason why, honestly, I'll even put it out, like, there's a reason why I can hear, like, the heaviness in Sade's Lover's Live record. Like, it's a thing about, it's a thing about vibes, like, in art, you know? So, but until then, I was pretty much a metal kid. But, like, I started playing with these older dudes, that were older punk rocker, like metal guys in the town north of me or south of me. They're the big town, Sioux Falls. And it was weird because it almost predated like new American metal, like Lamb of God, Killswitch kind of stuff. Because there was like some melodic, like Gothenburg death metal style influences in the guitar playing. But then there was like some new metal bouncy shit because that was around at the time too. And then there was, we had breakdowns in there because I was into hardcore. So I was like trying to insert like as much like into that shit,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, I played with those guys till I left South Dakota in 2002.
And you left South Dakota for where? Chicago?
Colorado. Western Colorado.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I lived in Grand Junction for a little bit, and then I lived in Denver for a little while, and then 2004, I moved to Minneapolis. And then I fucked around this little bit of a Doom project and with some guys from Exam. One of the guys from Exam, Examination of the, and then my friend Micah, who ended up starting, we started Wolfhammer in 2008.
2008. So I was thinking, I think Wolfhammer was around before that, but I guess not.
Nope.
But you had considerable success for an underground band with Wolfhammer. At least that you put out quite a few records with Wolfhammer.
Totally.
How long did you do that, and why did that end?
Well, I quit in 2015. I fucking I moved to Chicago. Like, so things split up. Moved to Chicago right when I literally moved to Chicago. We recorded Obsidian Plains. Mm-hmm. But that was just me and Jeff and Andy. And that was after the first lineup kind of fizzled and changed and stuff. And I'll just admit it. Like, now I moved to Chicago to do drugs, basically, you know, with my friends.
Right.
So, and even in Minneapolis just before that, I was on a really, really, really trying to find the bottom of the rock and then try to find another rock underneath that one and maybe another rock underneath that one and crush it up and snort it, dude.
Right,
you know, all that mess, all that fire, there's some legal trouble in there too and stuff. And then in 2015, I basically tossed a Molotov cocktail behind me, burned a bunch of bridges, quit Wolfhammer, and got clean. Before I almost killed myself, and then I got clean. Yeah,
well,
that's how that all went. Yeah,
that sounds like a rocky time. Good ending, at least. I can relate in a little bit in that when I moved to Baltimore It was strictly, basically strictly to party and go to hardcore shows. And I did that for quite a few years until I had a kid, and then I realized I needed to get the hell out of there. So that not to the severity or anything, but I understand the lure of just going somewhere to a big city just to have a good time. Like I was there, you know.
Well, I feel it wasn't even to have a good time. I felt like I could disappear into something. There was almost a LeVayan fucking desire to be a werewolf or something. I don't know. Do you know? Like do what thou wilt bullshit or whatever. Like,
right.
I heard a lot of people. Like I apologize to you all, and they don't have to accept it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just I didn't see any way out at the time other than to quit that band.
Was it an unhealthy relationship with that? Is that, I don't know, intensified?
Well, I don't know. There was an unhealthy relationship with my entire existence. So I started with, after I started with that, I blew that up. Then I blew up some really close relationships. And then I, like, made a plan, but then I went to a doctor. That's it, really. I mean, it's not just it, but that's kind of how it went.
Right.
Yeah. It was the first thing I could, like, because the thing was, I was trying to hurt people around. I was trying to hit back, too, and hurt people. So I was like, I'm going to fucking fuck this up for you guys. Because, like, I thought that by me quitting, like, somehow that would burn that whole, like, building down. But they did just fine without me for a little bit there, it seemed like. So,
Did that make things... Seeing that, did that make things worse for you?
No, it was immediately a relief. That was an immediate relief, for sure. But I was still, like, getting fucking high. So there was a few more, like, terrible instances that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, all right, so you do that, you get clean. Do you stay in Chicago, or do you get out of there?
Yeah, no, I stayed in Chicago. Here's the funny thing about being in Philly now. So, like, just before I met my wife, I thought about moving to either Boston or Philadelphia because I have friends in both places here from touring. Like, I love these two, cities, you know, and I just thought I should get out. But then I met my wife, and she's fucking incredible. So I had to stick around for that, you know. So then are we trying to lead up to where I got into Lotus Thrones here? Where I started doing that?
Yeah, that's where I'm headed.
Well, then this will be part of it then. So then we had our daughter in 2017, 2017, yeah. And then in 2018, we decided to move back to South Dakota, where I'm from, because the economy is good there, like, schools are good, it's an easier life, money goes really far, you know. I ended up opening a business with some old friends, opening a tattoo shop, and then we were fucking, my wife makes it, so Lovers in Wartime, the title of the record is definitely metaphoric for, like, what was happening with, like, that record's all, like, not just pandemic stuff, but just, like, the suffering that was taking place for us in this really fucking isolated place, actually. Like, I remembered the many reasons why we left there, like, shortly after we had been there, you know? But my wife and I don't really fight. We don't really agree to disagree. We just know that when we disagree, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're pretty good at moving on with it, actually. And, like, we know we love each other. We just knew we disagreed about something. There's no reason to beat it to death, but we were really unhappy, and we thought it was us. We realized it was where we were living. We literally had, like, a rom-com moment where I go, you fucking hate it here, don't you? And she's like, I'm trying to make it work. And I go, I fucking hate it here, too. Let's get the fuck out of here, dude. Because it's, like, fucking... Like, I don't know who you voted for or whatever, but that place is fucking MAGA country, and they don't believe COVID is real.
Well, like, no, I've been just so people are clear when I say other things that I voted for Biden by mail. It's just so when I say things that people, like, far left are like, you're fucking, you know, they act like I'm being, you know, a MAGA guy. I'm like, hey, listen, I voted for Biden by mail. So, you know.
By mail, yeah. Fuck you, dude. Like, here's the thing about old, like, whatever. If I like to put it down to them about this. If you want to know how bad Trump was, I voted for a probable rapist and warmonger in order to get Trump out of office.
Right.
Like, Biden is just George Bush light. He's a piece of shit.
No, he sucks. Yeah.
His fucking, the administration he was in was bloody minded, dude.
Right.
Like, the fucking, the kill count that's on his hands is disgusting, dude. So, like, but he, I literally couldn't take any more of this other, like, while they might be completely off their fucking rockers at certain things, at least they know that women need to be able to do what they want with their bodies. Yeah. People need to be able to be people, you know, and like maybe some social programs might actually work if they were to do it right, but they don't know under how to do that shit right, you know.
So, yeah.
But back to it. So, yeah, South Dakota, we fucking hated it. But right around the time that we decided that we were going to move, just before that, my wife had gotten me for my birthday, my 40th, I had gotten an electronic drum set because we were supposed to go to California. And I was going to get tattooed by one of my heroes, and then pandemic, all that shit, you know. So yeah, it's like jamming with some friends, and I wanted an easier way to record, and they've gotten so good. Like, the electronic drum sets have gotten so good, and then, like, you have, like, all these programs and stuff that you can run with your DAW, and like, I discovered, like, my friend Devin, who does this thing called Lung Lust in Boston, he basically taught me how to record by him and I just messing around. He was sending me some like cool hardcore riffs and stuff like that, which I'm hoping at some point here, him and I will get back to, because we have something special going on with that. But we're both busy with our things right now. But in fact, I might text him tomorrow and be like, yo, riff me, buddy. But like, he basically taught me how to record over email, you know, and texting, and like, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, my other iPod, I, whatever those things are, they're fucking white things in my ears died.
Gotcha.
So, and shortly after we decided to move away, which moved exponentially fast, actually, after, because we were like, first it was like 6 months, and then it turned to like 2, because we were like, listen, so this place sucks. We moved out of South Dakota in the middle of winter, like almost, or like the end of winter, which is like hell there.
It's going to interrupt you just for a minute, just so I can tell you what, like, my imagination of South Dakota and probably like the four states that surround it. It's just desolate. I don't have any idea.
Oh, it's completely.
I have I wish I could explain it correctly the way I see it in my mind. It's just like long straight road, and there's a house.
Yeah, no, it's like it's literally, if you read the road from Cormac McCarthy, that's what it's like.
Okay.
Like, highly depressing and sad and long and fucking gray in the wintertime and just like, ugh, it's gross, dude. It sucks. And then there's like, there's such this bubble there that's so like, and they like talk about it like they're offended that they're flyover being, you don't know how we are and all this shit. And it's like, no, you actually don't know how the real world is outside of you. Okay. You guys have your little bubble, and maybe Texas and then those four square states over there should be sanctioned off, and everybody that doesn't want to get vaccinated can go live there in those two places.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how that science experiment. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So so like I was listening to so I'm doing this stuff with my friend. But like I'm waiting on, and I was also jamming with some other friends and stuff too, but like I'm waiting on other people, and like I'm like really, I'm insane. I have to do things all the time. So I was listening to, I listen to Rock for Light. I still probably listen to Rock for Light from Bad Brains like once a week at least. Right. And then I was on a Godflesh kick, like a Broderick kick, like a Godflesh like JSU kick. And I think I was even listening to like Avalanche and stuff like that. But like, I was listening. I used to sing that song off Rock for Life, the reggae song, the I and I Survive, to my daughter. Because it's got a cool melody, and I didn't really know any other songs, so that's why I'd sing to her at night. And then we'd listen to that on vinyl, and she loved the funny noises that HR would make. She thought they were hilarious.
Right.
So, like, I was just, like, listening to that, and I was like, what if this was, like, slowed down even more, and it was, like, all delay instead of just, like staccato reggae chops? Like, what if it was delayed? And then what if, like, Justin Broderick was...
Right.
So there's this shitty pawn shop across the street from the tattoo shop I had. I found a $100 guitar in there, and I had ordered a MIDI controller and an interface. And I was like, I'm going to try to make this thing that I think I hear in my head. And that was the first song I did for Lotus Thrones, was the Bad Brains. 3 weeks later, I had a record.
Wow, that quickly.
Yeah, it just that's how things work with me. I like once it's unloaded, just get out of my way. My wife will tell anybody about that with me. Once he decides to do something, he's just going to do it, dude. And like then he does it, and it's like he doesn't really like. It's not like he just did a little project. No, he's going to release a record, dude. But it wasn't like my intention with it. Like I just kept making it. I was having fun, and I think with all my experience with other bands. And then the little bit I was taught, I was able to sort of fumble my way through it because I use Logic too, and Apple products are like pretty intuitive. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively easy to learn a lot of stuff. And then, you know, I have Sanford Parker on speed dial because he's one of my best friends in the world. And then he's done all that work for me. So it was like, yo, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And he was highly encouraging. And then Jeff Wilson from, you know, that I was in Wolfhammer with, he does Crow Waves and like he owns Disorder and all that. Like he was super encouraging. Like everybody that I played stuff for was like, holy crap, this is good. Keep going. So like, then we were like, let's just throw it up.
That's awesome. And that's a hell of a resource having Sanford Parker. And also I had to mention that new Chrome Waves record is excellent as well. But
better than the new Death Heaven.
to be fair to Def Heaven, I know I've listened to it, but I don't know that I've listened to it.
I was just making a joke about shoegaze metal. I actually love the new Def Heaven record, but like I biasly think the Chrome Waves is better because that's my family and I love it. So
that's all the reason you need. So
yeah, totally.
I think it's interesting that the Bad Brains cover was the first thing that you did, which of course is on Lovers in Wartime. I think that's the only Bad Brains reggae song that I can stand. I love the Bad Brains, but I feel like the reggae is so bad.
Yeah, like Rally Round Ija and shit like that. That stuff's terrible, dude. But like, I and I Survive is incredible, and it's sad. Like it's a bummer. It's really not even sad. It's just. Melancholy for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You know,
I used to practice my band I had in Baltimore. I might have told this in the podcast before, but whatever. We used to practice in a warehouse in Baltimore, and the room next to us was HR's bedroom. And he just lived in this warehouse, and it was so strange. I mean, I had a lot of strange interactions with that guy. This is like mid to late 2000s.
Very strange time for him.
Yeah. At the time, you know, didn't have a lot of context and understand what was exactly going on with him. But
I don't think a lot of people really had a context for what's going on with people like that. So maybe even the last half a decade.
Yeah, no.
to be able to recognize mental health like that, you know.
No, I mean, but like, we should have known because he would do crazy things. He would. I remember he came to a show. He would, you know, show up at shows. He'd get all, you know, everybody knows who HR is, so he's going to get a lot of attention. And I remember one time he comes to the sidebar and he just makes he stands against the wall, makes like a horseshoe around him with guitar cabinets, and he's wearing like a bulletproof vest. And he just stands there and prays for like an hour, right? And then everybody, because it's HR, they always manage to get him on stage for something. And somebody tries to play reggae, and then he sings and he yells something like "Don't step on the corn" for like 4 minutes straight. And it's just, and at the time you're like, "What the fuck? This is so bizarre." But you're all just drinking and partying and not realizing like this is like there's something wrong here, you know? And like in hindsight,
you're just like, oh my god. Look at this event we're at where HR's doing this thing, not realizing that, yo, maybe this guy probably needs some help, dude.
Yeah. But anyway, that was just my HR anecdote. And but it's interesting to me that's where Lotus Thrones started. Where'd the name Lotus Thrones come from?
Well, so got pretty, and then just before I got those drums and all that, like right when lockdown started, I was actually probably, I weighed over 250 pounds. I had really blown up. So I was like just chilling at home. So I just started doing yoga. And then I started doing yoga with John Porcel, or Paramananda Das, as he should be known. Well, Porcel from Judge. I started doing yoga online with him. And I'm definitely not of any denomination, and I'm probably more of a Buddhist than anything, but I also am not a good Buddhist because I eat. But like, back in the 90s, like through other bands, like even like VOD, stuff like that, you know, like you get into like some Buddhist philosophy, things like that and shit. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I delved deep. I read the Gita. I read, got way more into like the Buddhist thought stuff though, but I was doing yoga. But all of these deities sit on a lotus throne. It's a throne upon which a deity sits. Or even like you'll see gurus sitting upon them sometimes too and stuff. And they're beautiful. And, you know, it's a seat of power. And those two words together sound really fucking strong and beautiful too. That's the thing. When I saw it, like, I saw it in a tattoo reference guide, actually. It was like a set of lotus thrones, like a bunch of different references for lotus thrones. And I was like, man, that just sounds fucking strong, dude. Like those two words together are like invoke a feeling, you know, like even beyond that. But it's definitely deeper for me because like I'm off my yoga, my asana game, like my physical yoga game. But I'm always trying to like practice like spiritual yoga as much as possible, you know, throughout my day, because there's so much more to it than like down dogs and Lululemon. Like yoga is how you, yoga is like what you, the first principles of yoga are what you eat and how you talk. Like it's what goes in and what comes out. Those are the first two things you think about actually before it. Three is called asana, or what, that's like the physical aspect of it, you know, but it's so been so whitewashed for white women, you know what I mean? they would hate to know that they're like, you know, like when they're pointing their fingers in the sky in prayer, that it's actually a, you know, like a mudra for the goddess Kali, who's like a murderous, venomous, like revengeful god. You know what I mean? They wouldn't want to know about that.
No, that doesn't fit in.
No. I'm gonna go get my latte after this, and we're gonna do some Botoxing later.
Hey, well, it is pumpkin spice season.
Hey, actually, that's the thing is, I was gonna make a joke. I'm sitting outside on my porch right now because it's hypo negative weather, and I'm so happy, dude. Like,
oh man, but you know what sucks about that? It's typo negative.
What's that?
I just, it's one I can't do. But all right. So the name Lotus Thrones has its beautiful meaning, right? But the sound of Lotus Thrones is rather bleak. Is that, do you know, or is that supposed to sound like that to me, or am I hearing it differently than you're intending?
It is what it is. It's whatever it is that needs to be at the time. Those songs kind of, I'm just a vessel for those songs to happen. That was the thing about like having, you know, like, I mean, I put, I think, what, 8 songs on that record?
Eight or nine or something like that. Yeah. You would know better.
There was another, like, there was more after that immediately. I have my second record done already. And then I sent you that EP.
Yeah.
Already, which I think if we talked right, this is going to drop right around the same time as that is going to drop. So
yes,
it won't be.
It's
a surprise. It's a surprise drop. So put this out after October
27th. Okay, I can do that. Not a problem. October 27th is like a Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I'm just, who gives a fuck, dude?
Right, no.
I'm going to drop it on a Wednesday.
You can do it whenever you do whenever you want.
Exactly, dude. Like, I was talking to, like this one of my guys, like, one of my people in, like, the team, and they're like, well, maybe you should. I'm like, who gives a fuck, dude? Like, there's this, like, did you get to listen to it yet?
Yes, yeah, EP? A few times today,
So that second song is about werewolves on speed, and it's a total fucking, like, industrial dance number. It needs to be out for Halloween, dude. And then there's a Samhain cover. It needs to be out for Halloween.
There is, so you can hear the cat food dispenser going off right now.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
We gotta wait it out.
Is it automatic?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. So, well, I guess the timer's off, but yeah. But okay. So, so it's funny that, well, fuck. I'm gonna ask you it now. You said there's a song about the werewolf, what? The werewolf.
Werewolves are on speed.
Werewolves on speed? Okay. Well, one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's called Lick and Throw Cardiology. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, one of my favorite questions that I've been asking since I think the first interview I ever did. On the first interview I ever did on this podcast, this is one of my questions, and I knew this was coming. Yeah, you figured it out. Would a werewolf go to a doctor or a veterinarian? What do you think?
Oh, I think after listening to the Lion's Daughter podcast today, I think that it would go to a werewolf hospital. I think it would go to Rick's Werewolf Hospital, and then it would go to my Lycanthrope Cardiology Department.
There you go. It's perfect. You got it all figured out then.
Yeah.
All right. So
I wanted to gear up for tonight. I was like, man, I'm like, what one do I want to listen to? And I love that new Lion's Daughter record. And then I didn't even know those guys did that with Sanford till I listened to that today. But I saw Rick at Decibel Fest this weekend, and I went up to him. I was like, yo, dude, I love your band. Yeah. I fucking like your shit. Super cool. And then I was like, wait a minute. So I actually messaged him on Instagram today. I was like, yo, dude, we basically let's be friends. Do you know what I mean? we should be friends because we like the same shit.
There's enough in common, I think. Yeah, I think that.
I also want to buy one of his, Howard the Duck titties paintings really bad. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't. It sounds fantastic.
So his personal Instagram's called Let the Clowns Touch You, and he is a paint. Rick from The Lion's Daughter is a painter.
Didn't know that. I don't know. We talked about that when I talked to him.
No, you should have. He does paintings he did a version of Seasons in the Abyss, but it's Howard the Duck's face on it. it's the girl duck from Howard the Duck, the one in the bathtub, with the boobs hanging out from the 80s. I don't know if you saw that movie.
I remember it. I don't know that I remember that scene.
He does these the Howard the Duck paintings that are just, I think I love them.
That's great.
They're bizarre. They're fucking bizarre and wonderful. So I was just after I listened to that, I was like, yo, I'm going to message Rick and be like, hey, dude, I'm that asshole that bugged you at that show. Let's be friends, dude. but yeah, I was hoping I'd get the werewolf question tonight.
Oh, you got it. You got it. I'm telling you, that was among the first questions. Ben Hutcherson from Chemist was the first person I ever talked to on here. And well, first that wasn't a friend of mine. And I think that was asked back then, and it continues to sporadically pop in whenever there's a werewolf related conversation. The other one that I like to ask, and just because I don't know if you might have heard this one on something else, I don't know. But this one, it was just by personal experience, and it's about conjoined twins. Have you heard me ask this to anybody?
No, I have not yet.
Okay. So, and this is, I don't, it's just a, you tell me, are,
okay,
are conjoined twins one or two things?
Okay. They are two individuals in a symbiotic relationship. I actually was just thinking about this in a way, but totally different. Two of my friends just had their 10-year anniversary, actually. And they are two of the coolest individuals ever. But together, they are this symbiotic organism and one of the most beautiful relationships in the world. And they also make this music called Youth Code.
Okay, yeah, I know Youth Code, yeah.
Yeah, but in a way, they're like conjoined twins to me, but not twins.
But they have to buy two plane tickets, though. But if a conjoined twin is just like, you know, shares a body that like splits at the, I don't know, at the
torso. Yeah,
at the
so torso. they only need one plane ticket, really, right?
Yeah, so does that make them one thing?
I think that they would consider themselves a team.
Yeah, that's a one team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's fair.
I think if you ask them their opinion, they'd be like, we're a fucking team. Let's fuck shit up, dude.
And they dunk on you. Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. One tosses the other one in the air and shit. Yeah,
7 feet tall.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So Thank you for entertaining my questions, for by the way.
So back to the, I'm going to get back to the bleakness thing
for you, though.
Like, because I know that that's throughout. I just, like, I'm making the music that, I'm making a version of the music I like that I would like to listen to, like, naturally. And I'm not, like, I don't sit down, when I make a Lotus Thrones, like, song, I don't, like, have any intentions. Sometimes it starts with a synth, sometimes it starts with a riff, sometimes it starts with just me playing drums, you know, but like I allow it to happen on its own, and I don't force it ever. So that's where, like, even so, I think, like, even though the bleakness comes through on a song like that, that Lycanthrope Cardiology, that werewolf song there, like, I still think that sounds fun.
Yeah,
like, I
yeah.
hear just as much, like, that's the thing is, like, or even, like, Diametric Retrograde, like, wow, that is a depressing and bleak song. At the same time, it's got a bounce to it, because I still love this, like, there's humor, and there's a lot of humor in my lyrics that I don't think comes across, and that's from my love of Sisters of Mercy and shit like that, just, like, little dark jokes in there and stuff, but I don't, like, not that I intend to do it that way. It's just that that's what happens, and you know, I think it's cool, and that's what I like to listen to, anyways. You know,
that's interesting you say that. Hold on, can I say something? I was reading some reviews for Lovers in Wartime today, and a lot of people seem kind of hung up on the lyrics. Not hung up, but they comment on the lyrics and how negative they are. Do you feel like people are missing?
Yeah, I bummed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I bummed a lot of people. Like, I bummed the angry metal guy out.
Yeah, that was one of them. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you know what? I trolled him because I thought it was funny. I was like, hey, man, you owe me 2 more stars for me bumming you out because I thought you were angry. I, like, commented on it, dude. Like, and he never commented back. I wanted to fucking have a conversation on the internet because, like, that shit's stupid and a fun waste of time, you know? But he didn't fucking take my bait, dude. Like, ooh, the angry... I made the angry metal guy in a bad mood, dude.
Is the angry metal guy, dude, just one guy? I don't go there.
I think it's a few, definitely, fucking dorks in their basement, for sure. Yeah. Like, with opinions. But I don't know. I couldn't believe that with some of them. Like, that they were so bummed out by it. Like, whatever. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe next time I'll talk about, like, people eating each other and Satan or something.
Yeah,
that's fun.
You know, that's a thing that I get. I've always been frustrated by is how there will be. It's usually directed at like pretty basic dumbass hardcore. You know, where it's like these lyrics are so fucking stupid. And okay, they are, but it's always coming from the goat head soup and gore metal like stuff. It's like, what do you think you're doing?
You know?
Like, don't you realize you're just stupid too?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like where, like, I don't know, maybe that's where, like, even like I'm not, like, even if I'm making a Lotus Throne song or writing lyrics, I'm not trying to, like, here and there I'm telling stories, you know, and I'm trying to fit words together, but, like, it's also, like, from the heart. You know what I mean? I don't think that maybe, like, I think maybe people don't like the vulnerable, like, I'm pretty vulnerable in a lot of spots on that record, and I think that that makes people uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, when I'm screaming, you're too fucking close to me, like, everybody knows that feeling, but, like, you know, I was, even when I, like, wrote that part, I was like, this is uncomfortable for me to sing about, but I'm gonna do it, you know? And I, even when I listen to that, it's like Fatigue now, it makes me uncomfortable. Still in an awesome way, because I'm like, this is a cool song, but Jesus Christ, some dark shit on there, dude.
Yeah, there is, and I mean, I'd say all of, from my perspective, all of Lovers in Wartime is pretty dark. Even going from the cover art, which appears to me to be like a bird's foot, a mushroom, and maybe some blood or something. What is this? Where did this come from? Is this something that you had made somewhere?
No, I discovered it. It's in Sally Mills. I look at a lot of photography, and there's this hashtag called Dark Macro, that I follow, and you'll see a lot of cool photography through it. And like that image popped up and I was like, that's fucking it, dude, right there. I actually took a screenshot and sent it to Jeff and I was like, this is the record cover. He's like, this is sick, dude. Like it had no, like for my EP that's coming out. And then I might have this same guy do the artwork for my next full length too. I just discovered him and he's relatively unheard of. This guy, Toby, who does shadow cartography. Follow it's at Shadow Cartography. Like, follow this dude. Like, he does this, like, he takes all these photographs of nature and then fractalizes them. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then he just does regular photography stuff, too. But, like, I was, I didn't have a sequence for that record till I saw that artwork. Or Sally's stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then I actually think I wrote a couple more songs around that to make it kind of feel like it fit with that. So I was more inspired by her than having it inspired by me. And like, I think I like want to continue with that actually. Like when it comes to artwork with releases, like, cause I can do artwork and I've done artwork for Wolfhammer and all that stuff, but I want to be inspired by somebody else when it comes to that.
Yeah. That's like, interesting. Cause you're like, you're obviously very capable of doing your own art.
Yeah, no, I want like that to be like, I want to be able to, cause I think, cause even seeing, I think, there's so many things that people bitch about, you know, but I even think looking at the little square on my phone's cool when I'm listening to something. I like the cover. It's right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could bitch that it's not a vinyl or a CD, but you know what? There's a cool picture there and I can dissect it in my own way and enjoy it in a convenient way while I'm listening there, the same way when I listen to a record at home. You know, right. I have to enjoy it for its purity of what it is at that, you know, and it's the purity of convenience, but there's still a piece of art there. So it's like, here's a chance for me to showcase other things I like to look at, you know, the way to present other people. I think that that's cool. You know, like I put my record on fucking streaming and people look at it in their little square, but they see artwork from somebody else that, you know, yeah. then they can ask, you know, like, I think the only where I'm advantageous with being an artist is that I might not have the shittiest taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw Sally's stuff and I was like, this is great. So I bought 4 images from her. She was astounded too. She's like, you want to what? I'm like, I want to buy these 4 images. She's like, I've never sold anything. I'm like, no.
Well, now's the time.
I'm going to give you money and then I'm going to put it on a t-shirt and send it to you.
That's very cool. And that's she wasn't even somebody that does this, you know,
regularly. No, she doesn't. No, when I hit her up, she was like, so what is it, like metal stuff? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I never really got into metal. And she's like, really into old Genesis. And I was like, oh, like Foxtrot and Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. And she's like, yeah, dude, like we bonded over old Peter Gabriel. Yeah, we bonded over Peter Gabriel era Genesis and Peter Gabriel's like first 3 or 4 solo records too. So
nothing wrong with that.
No, so like, we found something to relate to each other about, and like, it's at FL_YTE on Instagram. Everyone should follow her. It's beautiful. And some of the other stuff is like really contemporary. It'd be like, some of the stuff looks like gardening type stuff that my wife would even put in our house, but it's still got like a urban feel to it. You know, like I think she could make stuff for like whatever that is. God damn it. I can't remember the name of this place. It'd be like a Pier 1 Imports or something like that, you know, or like even like the cool shit you'd see at Target, but actually cooler, dude. Yeah, like it's Anthropology. So like Anthropology has these garden centers now. And I want to be her manager and get her into these places and have her make $1 million off white people, dude.
That'd be pretty fucking cool. You take her under your wing.
Yeah, not even under my. I just like. There's so much beautiful things in the world. You gotta share them.
Well, speaking of something that I think is beautiful about Lovers in Wartime, and it's not the first time that I've really enjoyed it, is Bruce Lamont playing the saxophone.
My God, right? That having safe sax with that saxy saxophone.
That guy, like, all right, so I know we all basically, well, anytime he's referenced, Yakuza's brought up, right? But that's not where I think
for
of
sure.
him. That's not where I think of him, though. Like, I mean, I know that's where he's, what he's, you know, that's his band, right? Ever since I found it on the PRP back when I was in, I don't know, middle school, probably not middle school, whatever, high school. But I love his touch to those two tracks. It's two tracks on Lovers in Wartime, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and it's very cool. I assume you knew Bruce prior to doing this.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, me and Brucey, we're all Chicago's. That metal scene was small, so like I spent a lot. Spent a lot of time with Bruce and Sanford, like outside of that shit. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we just like they. Bruce worked at the Empty Bottle. That's where the cool shows were at. Like him and Sanford are like the best of friends. And they like, I love those dudes. I just like Bruce was in my life, and I like, I'm really into Norrish kind of jazz stuff the past few years. And I had never had him on one of my records, and he's been on all of our friends' records and stuff. And I was like, instead of him like guesting on a song, I want to write a song for him to showcase him.
Yeah.
In the same sense of like Sally's art or Toby's art, like, want to like give a platform to somebody for them to like, so that's where I kept like my arrangement really minimal, you know, and like but with still some emotion to it to allow him to like, and only gave him a couple parameters, you know, and I knew he didn't even need them. So like he actually, the second song, the first song that he's on, that song Lovers, those are kind of outtakes I sampled from the song for the stuff he did for Liber, actually.
Okay.
Because Lovers, that song itself, is a reference to almost like, I can't figure out the word for it, but it's kind of like how the song The Downward Spiral is on The Downward Spiral from Nine Inch Nails. That song itself has the melody from Closer and Hurt in it,
okay.
Both. So if you go back and listen to Lovers now, you'll hear the melodies from Fatigue and Liberate in there.
No,
actually.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It was this continuity thing to it. And like, it was something actually, when I was talking to Bonzelli from Decibel, when he did my interview, he was like, most people would put like one of those songs at the beginning and one of them at the end, but you have this really interesting arrangement to all of it. And I thought like, that was where the sequence came in when I saw Sally's artwork. Mm-hmm. That helped me decide where to place those pieces too. Like, that's why I dropped the fucking Danzig Death Rock Pounder in between. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm going to bring it up a little bit here, and then we're going to really bring you to this pretty thing that's very, still very, very, very bleak and like sparse. So Bruce is going to be on three songs on the next full length, actually. So
that's great.
Very, very extensively on this one too, actually, that I can't wait for people to.
That's awesome. I'm psyched to hear it. I love the stuff he's been a part of, especially, and I didn't think so at the time. At the time, I wasn't crazy about it, but I'm glad I got into him, Corrections House. And when,
yeah, it's
when
cool,
I saw them, they played in Baltimore once, and before they played, a friend of mine, we were standing there, and neither of us were really sure about it. I mean, we were there because of the guys who are in the band, right? You know, it's, you got,
yeah,
I,
for sure, yeah.
I Hate God and Neurosis.
Neurosis, you know, yeah.
Like, of course we're here. But there wasn't that many people here. And he said something before they started. And he's like, I feel like this is going to be one of those shows where you're going to be able to say, I got to see this band. And that's exactly the way it was. Like, because it doesn't seem like there was that many opportunities for it.
Do you want to know something very special for me? With them, with Corrections House, is very special. The their symbol, I designed that.
Oh shit!
And I got to tattoo it on.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I got to tattoo Scott Kelly from Neurosis. I was like, "What's going on, dude?" with my symbol, like, that I made for them.
That's great. You know, I really love and I listen to quite often from them is their Cortez the Killer cover.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
I got to see Scott Kelly do that live solo with Sanford Park or with Bruce Lamont.
That's awesome.
At the Bottle. That, like, I cried. I'm not like a baby, but I had a tear come out because, like, when he slows down and says Cortez, oh, what a killer. Like, it was like, oh my God, dude. Like, one of those emotional moments that was like you could see he like opened up his soul for everyone. I love vulnerability. I think vulnerability is such like a adversarial trait. It's like there's so much strength in it. Like I find people that aren't afraid to be vulnerable very, very strong and intimidating usually. So I tried to be vulnerable, I think, on my record, because it was a healing experience for me too. So like I can actually listen to like black metal again and now and stuff.
I couldn't listen
up until then, like really dark, like dark stuff, like the good dark stuff. Like it was like something that would be really good was too powerful. It would like give me anxiety, where now I can enjoy that art again, like sonically.
Well, I think, like I said, I think you did a good job of projecting that vulnerability on Lovers in Wartime specifically. The four songs that you sent me today are for a new EP. I don't know if you said the title or if I know what the title is.
It's called Autumnal. I'm going to drop four EPs actually over each season over the next year here, and then try to put it out as a double record next week.
Oh, okay.
I have songs for all of them too already. Like started. They're not finished at all. But I have like, so one, the next one, and like Toby has, I got, and that's the thing about, the cool thing was, I like had this EP started, and I was like, I'm going to drop an EP around Halloween for fun. I got these things that'll work together. And I've always wanted to fucking do a Samhain cover. And then like, I saw his artwork. I was going to have him, I'm having him do the next full length, but then I saw that thing. And then there's a whole series to it, and there's four different ones, and they have these symbols for the building blocks of life on them, like molecule symbol kind of things, but they're just simple shapes. And then they're fractalized nature images, but the color palettes on them are represented, like they look like seasons to me. And there were four different ones, and I was like, I want to release an EP for each season digitally, just drop it when I feel like it, so that I can use the, I just basically because I wanted to use this artwork for something, because it's so fucking beautiful.
That's great. Like, so it's like it's happening again this time around with this music being inspired by the art.
By imagery. Yeah, where I'm like, okay, I have to make these things so that I can put them all out, so that these four images can be part of this music. So, yeah.
Well, I only just heard those songs today, but quick opinion of it is that it sounds like it might be a little heavier than the Lovers in Wartime stuff.
Definitely. The metal stuff's more coming out for sure, I think. I was also, I don't know, like obviously I love Lovers, but I love it for its naivety and its childlike quality, because it's a fully everyone. There's an actual recorded documentation of me learning how to make music and write songs. That's what that is. All of those things. There was very little much editing. Like he just allowed it to happen. So now, like those songs you hear today, like obviously are heavier because I'm also getting better at instruments and like arranging and the actual like rigmarole of making the pie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's easier now. My next record, I can't, goddamn, I kind of want to send it to you for you to check out. I got to wait till it's not, I have all the pre-pro done on it. And then I'm going to go to Chicago in November. And Sanford and I are going to reamp all my guitars, maybe do some more analog electronics. And I'm going to redo vocals there with him. And then Bruce is doing more saxophone for that. So that one's definitely it's way harsher in spots for sure. Way more of an industrial feeling.
So do you think that's where Lotus Thrones is headed, a little heavier than what's on Lovers in Wartime?
Yeah, for sure. And then it also could not.
Right.
I can do whatever. I love it. I can do whatever I want. I was actually Neil from, you know that band Krieg? We used to speak to
Neil Jameson.
Them. Yeah. Me and Neil were having, they actually recorded for a split the other day, some of the first new Krieg material in like 7 years. And we were having dinner after I tattooed him, and he was like, isn't it incredible that you getting to make this thing without the parameters of deciding things in a committee, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I get to like, if I want to, I'll have surprises all the time. And, I even like how Rick was talking about it on your podcast, Rick from the Lion's Daughter, of like wanting to like show these things. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like in a way of like, no, I want to showcase these other parts of me. Like for me, it's adversarial too, of being like, yeah, here's heavier music, but also I'm not afraid to write a full on, like possibly maybe a like epic 10-minute song that sounds like Blood Flowers from The Cure. Maybe that happened and maybe it didn't. I don't know.
Well, I think that brings me to what could probably be our final question here. We're going on for a little while. I don't want to go too long or else we'll lose people. But
oh, for sure. Definitely. This has been fun.
Yeah,
I love
dude.
This.
Yeah, this is great. We'll leave this as the last question. How do you feel Lotus Thrones has been received so far? Are you satisfied and does it even matter when you're doing something on your own? Like,
I'll go backwards. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I literally don't, because I'm just making art for art's sake. I'm not trying to go on tour or make money or make a career out of it. Making art for art's sake. So that being said, being encouraged by fellow musicians and peers that I respect and a lot of other people do to be encouraged to like share it with the world, the response has been immensely humbling, and like, I'm so grateful. I can't even poor angry metal guy, like I made that guy feel something. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was bad, but I still made him feel something, you know? So right. It's like, I think it's been great. I just couldn't be more happier. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I get my I like to look at my metadata on streaming because, you know, like I'm just basically a streaming artist. You know, and like I've been watching like the list, the amount of plays go down, but the consistency of listeners go up.
Right, right.
And I'm also getting messages about like, when am I going to do vinyl? This, you know, like things like that. You know, I don't know. It's just been really fucking cool. I'm happy with it. You know, to the point where I'm just going to keep doing it. Because it's not like I have to worry about breaking up with anybody. So.
Exactly, exactly. And the only way that I can relate in that is that's like me doing this is I have on whoever the fuck I want to have on here. If I like music, this
I know, and that's what, dude. That's why that's why I messaged you when you played me at like during like the Mastiff one, you know. Yeah. And then I looked at all of your like all the people you've had on here. I'm like, this is like my fucking playlist, dude. Like. This guy's talking to dudes from Leeway and Time and Pressure, and then he's talking to these metal dudes and Mastiff and stuff. I'm like, him and I should be friends, because he likes a lot of different stuff, and that's my kind of friends, dude.
Well, then let's be friends, man.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Heath Rave of Lotus Thrones. The song you just heard, Lycanthrope Cardiology, off of the Autumnal EP, out now, available everywhere. Get it wherever you get music. It's probably there. I want to thank Heath again for the time and conversation. I really enjoyed talking to him, and I'm glad to finally share this conversation with the rest of you. This episode is already really long. Well, long for an episode of Getting It Out podcast. We're over the hour and a half mark. I usually don't go there. So I'm going to try and wrap this up rather quickly. But I do want to tell you that gettingitout.net, as you've heard for years, is nearing completion. I'm currently smushing it. If you don't know what that is, I didn't know what that was until earlier today. So don't worry. I'm compressing some images to get this bad boy finally rocking and rolling on the World Wide Web. If you want to write for that website, hit me up. We can work something out. You want to do some record reviews? I got the hookup. But yeah, all right. So this is episode 198. So 200 is coming real quick. I still don't know what 200 is going to be. I thought it was going to be something else, and I've decided I don't have enough time. I procrastinated too much. We can't do it that way. So I'm going to figure out something else for 200, or maybe nothing at all. Maybe that's episode 200, just dead silence. I like that idea. Anyway, that's going to be it for this one. But first, I want to play you a track from Burial Waves. The song is called Lightheads, and it's off of their Holy Ground EP that'll be out this week, courtesy of Dark Operative. If you're into alternative or post-rock, Burial Waves is the band for you. They're based out of Baltimore in the Washington, D.C. area. Check it out. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.